Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Yeah,
I was waiting for it. That one's not bad. I like that one.
You like this one?
Yeah. Lyrically challenged.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
It's go time.
Yes, it is go time. In-person absentee balloting is taking place. Had a very busy, almost unexpectedly busy Tuesday of in-person absentee voting.
Robust. Turnout,
yes.
Was robust.
There's voters everywhere.
When I got there around like maybe 10, 10:30, there was already a line that was going to the very back of the building. And by the time I cast my ballot, the line was already going outside down the street towards Kilbourne Avenue.
That's WTMJ Sean Brenda. He was downtown. Waukesha saw similar long lines as well, which prompted the question, why?
It was
as almost as if those voters thought Tuesday was election day.
I got to vote today.
Or the only day they could do it. I'm just surprised at the number of voters who wouldn't have just driven past. I mean, like, yeah, you know what, I'll vote early tomorrow instead, since there's so many people online today.
I think that's the interesting point, is if you're voting early because you want to avoid the lines, and yet you stand in a line. Right? Maybe try today, maybe the next day.
Right? These feel like the type of people that will go to the movies on the first day that the movie
right?
is out.
Right, and they're wearing costumes.
Exactly, yeah.
I saw Uncle Sam in line.
I hope so. That's awesome.
Voting issues were an actual thing in Glendale because they weren't expecting so many people.
My clerk tells me that the person at the state said to her, we didn't anticipate this level of volume on the first day of early voting.
That's Glendale Mayor Brian Kennedy. He says they had some WisVote system verification issues. Nothing dramatic, but it did delay a little bit. The city of Milwaukee is telling us this morning that more than 4,700 ballots were cast on the first day. So far, so good. That go time soundbite that you heard earlier, that's Trent Miner. He is the president of the Wisconsin County Clerks Association. He joined us on Tuesday, and we asked him, is this how you'd prefer us to vote? Early or on election day? And he said,
oh, I don't know that we care one way or the other. We just want you to vote. I don't care if you do it absentee by mail, if you do it in person. Certainly this gives us more time. There's less lines usually during in-person absentee voting, but we just want you to vote. We don't care how you do it. Just get out and vote.
All right. So yes, sir, we can do that, but don't take it from us.
You got to get out and vote.
Yeah, man, Mr. Baseball also telling you.
Get out and vote.
All right. Yes, sir.
I have to add it each time and every time. I know you're going to get tired of hearing it if you listen to the whole show every day, but all the rules are different in every community. So you hear Milwaukee talking about having 10 different locations for in-person absentee voting. In your community, it might just be at city, village, or town hall, and it might not even be every day during the week.
Just jump on the old village website and you can figure it out.
Most of your clerks will post those dates and times on their website that you have this opportunity. 7:16 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Sports up next, sponsored by Holiday Automotive at Highway 23 in Fond du Lac. Holiday Automotive, it's worth the trip.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
That one's not bad. I like that one.
You like this one?
Yeah. Lyrically challenged. It's got a good beat and it's easy to dance.
The regular season begins today for your Milwaukee Bucks. Tonight in Philadelphia, they take on the 76ers.
The Bucks are expected to begin the season without Chris Middleton, who continues to recover from offseason ankle surgeries.
I'm really not concerned. I mean, it's a long season.
Doc Rivers Bucks, among the oldest teams in the league, with four of their preferred five starters in their 30s, playing against a team vying for Eastern Conference supremacy.
You know, it's funny. I've never thought anywhere was that hostile. Like, yeah, the better the environment, I've always thought the better for the both teams. I think it's a good thing.
Greg Mancic, WTMJ News.
Home first portion of their schedule starts Friday night against the Bulls at Fiserv Forum. So what about the Bucks this year versus next year? Is this the end of this version of the Bucks? WTMJ's Justin Garcia, of course, he's part of the Bucks broadcast for every game. He says things are going to be different.
Regardless of whether or not the Bucks reach the ultimate goal, even if they win a championship, this group is going to look different next year.
Yeah.
You have to start to think about life after Brook Lopez. It is very polarizing when you bring up the name of Chris Middleton, but they're both entering walk years in Chris Middleton and Brook Lopez. So with the age piece, with that on the contract situation, the team is going to look different next year. I think the question is how different, and that depends on how far they go this year.
So enjoy it, Bucks fans. Enjoy what you got right now. The 6 o'clock pregame right here on WTMJ 630 is the tip-off. Again, Bucks and Sixers tonight. Real quickly, we did have some breaking historic news from the NBA on Tuesday night when LeBron James and his son Bronny entered the game late in the second quarter. The first time in the history of the NBA a father and son were on the court at the same time. Bronny had a rebound.
In 3 minutes of play,
yes,
right?
Got a rebound. The Lakers would go on to win the game.
Is this going to be a regular thing? Or like he's not good enough to like hardly even occupy that seat on the bench, right?
Right.
Like he's not that good at basketball.
One of the lines I read from one of the stories were, in a very rare and perhaps only time, like you wonder whether or not he'll even play much more for the Lakers outside of this game. He's just not his dad, obviously. DeAndre Hopkins has been traded from Tennessee to Kansas City. So DeAndre Hopkins, the receiver, is now a Kansas City Chief. And Dodgers pitching star Fernando Valenzuela has passed away.
Coming up, remember yesterday at this time we were talking about there was going to be a big vote in Waukesha County. They were voting on whether or not to implement a sales tax. They're one of the only counties in the state that doesn't have one. They didn't do it. Pulled back at the last minute. How come that is? That story next.
Tuesday night, Waukesha County Board. There was an expectation of a vote raising the sales tax by 0.5%. And it's in being done and being discussed because as of now, Waukesha County has a budget deficit they're dealing with, and they need to fill a $5 million budget gap, and that this 0.5% sales tax would do that, and then some. So it was to be voted on Tuesday night by the board, and it appeared that it had the votes it needed. You heard from the sheriff, you heard from the DA, you had all these Waukesha County leaders, the county executive saying, hey, this is going to work, we need this. We're one of the only counties that doesn't have a sales tax across the entire state. But there was enough pushback that before that vote took place, before the even real discussion of it took place, the county executive on Tuesday night announced, hey, I'm pulling back this ordinance, not pushing for this.
So what gives? Do we have an explanation as to
yes.
What changed in the hours preceding that decision?
In a decision that he left a statement for, Farrell was not on hand for that board meeting on Tuesday. He says, my decision to withdraw the sales tax ordinance from consideration is democracy in action. Postponing the measure will allow for more public input and provide for an opportunity to educate residents on the county's financial challenges. So now he's going to work with the county board to examine maybe some other remedies, including, he says, the potential to levy less than 0.5% county sales tax currently allowed under state law.
So that's interesting. I had read that there is a possible movement within the state legislature. How popular it is, how much traction it has, don't know. But right now, state law allows counties to levy a 0.5% sales tax. But that's it. That's where the language stops. So my understanding is you can't do a 0.1 or a 0.3 or whatever. You get 0.5 or nothing.
So by doing this, now it's out there. I mean, we've been hearing about this. This isn't the first time we had heard that. Obviously, there's a budget gap that the county was going to be dealing with. Do you think this was a strategic ploy to get it in the news feed, if you will, and then
raise awareness of the issue, and then, yes, I have heard your concerns, therefore I will pull this back, and then we'll have this community conversation.
And then maybe convince state lawmakers to allow for a smaller?
Well, so that's interesting. I mean, what were the numbers that we talked about? Said it's a $5 million annual budget gap.
Yes.
Yet, County Executive Farrell also said the new tax would be expected on an annual basis to raise some $55 million
Correct.
In revenue. There was talk of then using some of that then for property tax relief
offsetting,
and putting it back to offset.
Yep.
But either way, if they're looking at those numbers and saying, well, if we had an option that were less, if it was just about plugging that gap, could we go 0.2 or 0.3 or less, even 0.1, if there were this change at the state legislature, would that be more palatable to voters mm-hmm. here in Waukesha?
So who knows? Maybe that's the play here. Did reach out to the county executive this morning. Have not heard back from him yet. You know who was on the phone yesterday in Wisconsin's Afternoon News upset about this? Rebecca Clayfish.
But everything costs too much. And this would just be even one more burden on the people of Waukesha County and anybody else who bothers to travel through.
So if you ever want to hear from the former candidate for governor, throw out a sales tax, and then all of a sudden she
returns. Curious, was she recruited to join the effort on behalf of
I don't know.
Some
it's
cause,
interesting.
Or she just, you know, I mean, she lives in Waukesha, County.
She's a resident there. She's on the
just
program.
Decided this is the one I'm going to get that's going to get me back involved.
I just haven't heard her voice in a long time. Heard it on the radio yesterday.
Father and son tip off the NBA season, and the Bucks open tonight. We got sports at 7:45. Looking over my shoulder here, you got the president of McDonald's speaking with the Today Show as McDonald's is the epicenter of an E. coli outbreak that has affected at least 11 states, at least 49 people known to have become sick with E. coli infections. And they think it's tied to specifically the quarter pounder with cheese. ABC's Brian Clark.
The menu item, quarter pounder hamburgers, specifically their slivered onions and beef patties. McDonald's says food safety is its top priority and that it's working with the CDC and federal regulators and that it's removed quarter pounders from menus in Colorado, Kansas, Utah, and Wyoming, as well as in parts of eight other states. Brian Clark, ABC News.
And so only the one case reported here in Wisconsin, most in Colorado and Nebraska. And you have the president of McDonald's right now talking with NBC News, basically saying what you just heard there in Brian Clark's report. Food safety is our top priority. We take this seriously. We're investigating, et cetera, et cetera. They believe it's tied to, they think they've got it tracked down to onions, which is interesting because E. coli is a naturally occurring bacteria in
animals right? Yeah,
right.
So you'd assume some type of meat.
Right. And if you don't properly cook your meat and it's infected with E. coli, you can get it that way. And typically that's how it happens. However, cross-contamination is also possible. We saw that with the Sizzler outbreak here in the year 2000. Remember, that was tied to the restaurants on Layton Avenue. And there was one on Highway 100 in Wauwatosa also where you had infected meat that may have been cut with a knife that wasn't properly cleaned. Knife was used then to cut fruit that was put out on the buffet and people got infected that way. Little girl died. She was 3 years
That's
old.
Right.
Remember
right.
covering that case when I was over at TMJ4 News. What happens with E. coli poisoning is many folks can... You have a bout of E. coli, works its way through your system without medication or anything. You're sick for a few days, and it passes. In some cases, people get seriously sick but don't necessarily need to end up in the hospital. You can have, if it doesn't kill you, you can have lifelong complications if you get really sick from E. coli. And then the other thing is it can kill you if you get what's called HUS, hemolytic uremic syndrome. Can you tell I covered this story for a little
You're
bit?
Right. Jeez.
And that's a thing where it causes your kidneys to fail. And so those are the most serious cases, and it's why E. coli is such a big deal when you have an outbreak like this. In terms of what effect that has at your McDonald's here in Wisconsin, it doesn't look like they've pulled quarter pounders off the menu in our state. So I'm not sure if that person here in Wisconsin who has the E. coli poisoning...
Traveled.
Right, could have traveled, and if that's how the CDC listed, it's a person who lives in Wisconsin but perhaps had a burger elsewhere... Or if they just haven't tracked more cases. And sometimes what happens is now this is entering the news. People who might have been sick, who weren't seriously sick or didn't think anything of it at the time, might now then say like, hey, remember when I was really sick a week or two ago?
That might have been
Did
from.
Did we go to the,
yeah,
right? And then they
yeah.
start putting it together and then they contact local health authorities. So if that's you, certainly that's something that you want to contact your local health department to get the ball rolling as they want to know exactly how far reaching this E. coli outbreak is. 7:40 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk.
The regular season begins tonight for your Milwaukee Bucks. They're in Philadelphia. They take on the 76ers in game one of the NBA season.
Bucks head coach Doc Rivers is preaching continuity for a team that returned 10 players from last year's squad.
All the guys spent a lot of time together and just working out together all in L.A., and that connection has been huge. You can feel the difference.
Rivers admits continuity was lacking for the Bucks last season following the arrival of Damian Lillard.
My guess is Dame thought he was going somewhere else, and 2 days later he was in Milwaukee, was not in great shape. And then the injury thing, Chris was injured a lot, Giannis in and out. They just had no time to connect.
Greg Mancic, WTMJ News.
So who's going to win it? The Bucks!
Yes, all right. So the home portion of the Bucks schedule begins Friday night. That's at Fiserv. They'll play the Bulls Friday night. Tonight, Sixers in Philly. Our coverage starts at 6 o'clock right here on WTMJ. Tip-off is 6:30.
Okay. We can't win the championship this first month.
No,
right?
No,
it's a long season.
Yeah, you're right. It is a long season. Speaking of games, there was one Tuesday night, a big one that was historic.
History tonight. The first father-son duo to play together in an NBA game. This is all in the family.
Oh, yeah, he's waiting to say that. All in the family. That's TNT there. So LeBron James and his son Bronny entering the game late in the second quarter. The only time it's ever happened in the history of the NBA that a father-son were on the hard court playing together.
Did you see the prank?
Yes. So before the game, I'm always very skeptical of this stuff, but before the game, LeBron...
You're wondering if Bronny wasn't in on it.
They were all in on it. It was all edited. Anyway, LeBron dumped a bunch of, what was it?
It was like Fruity Pebbles or something
Fruity Pebbles
that.
Or some type of fear. Lucky Charms in his kid's car. So then when he opened the car door to go to work that morning, and then Bron was in another vehicle saying, "Hey, don't be late, Rook." And then he took off driving away. So.
Hey, man, rookie's a rookie. I don't care whose kid it is.
Right, and clean up my driveway, I think he said, because it was all over the driveway. Anyway, we'll see how long that lasts. It wasn't much on the court there for Bronny.
But Bronny's not very good.
No points, one rebound, played like 2 minutes.
And that could be the last time we see that?
That's what some people speculate, right? that could happen. DeAndre Hopkins, receiver for the Tennessee Titans, traded to the Kansas City Chiefs this morning for a conditional fourth-round pick. That breaking just an hour ago. And Dodgers star Fernando Valenzuela, just days before the World Series, passes away.
Starting a limited WTMJ News time, 10 to 8. Mark Tauscher next.
Idea Man.
They feel like this guy can come in and he's a better kicker than what they had, and they can help this team win.
Innovator.
I still think he's going to be aggressive until McManus proves that he can make a bunch of 45-yard field goals plus.
I hope we see that on Sunday then.
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Just came here on Wednesday. He's got this to win it. Low snap, the kick.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News is sponsored by Kohler Services.
All right, Tausch, don't look now, but the NFL trade deadline is Tuesday, November 5th. So that's
creeping
up here.
Anything else going on? Anything else going on that day or not?
Oh, man, the biggest trade in the history of the NFL is going to happen while everyone's voting. No one will be even looking at their phone at that moment.
So
Goody went and early voted yesterday, just in case.
Hopefully Goody and all the coaches and everything else, they voted, got their early votes in. It's always fascinating, and what I love, the NFL, the trade deadline used to be early October, and they pushed it back. So I think with the season getting longer, I think it's smart, because what you're starting to see, and it gets weeded out pretty early, there's a lot of teams that stink. And there's a lot of teams that are now in it, looking at it and saying, we don't have our guys. Let's get rid of our high-priced talent, maybe have some teams eat contracts. And so there's to get Devontae, for instance, for a third-round pick. Now you're starting to see the DeAndre Hopkins, and I think most NFL fans are looking at this saying, all right, the Kansas City Chiefs are undefeated. They're the two-time defending champs, and they just got a lot better today. So now from a Packers standpoint, what does that mean? I think they're always in conversations, but if you really look, at the last two or three seasons. And really with Rodgers finishing up, not so much last year because it was looked at as more of a rebuild. And you, if you remember, Rasul Douglas, who was one of your better corners, got traded. So I think last year at this time, if the Packers were being honest, I think they would have said, we're probably not going to make a big playoff push. Let's secure some draft picks and get rid of. Now, this is a really interesting year because is there any big glaring weaknesses that you have on this team? I would have said place kicker, but hopefully we got that solved. So this whole 2 or 3 week process is going to be tell you a lot about where I think the Green Bay Packers view this roster heading into the playoff stretch.
Is there a team, like one team that comes to mind that is just in shambles right now? The Cleveland Browns, right? Like their quarterback who's already getting paid a lot of money is out for the season now. Clearly spiraling at the moment. And they got some pretty good players, i.e. Myles Garrett. Is there someone like that who would likely get traded? And do the Packers kind of sniff around a little bit?
Well, I'll tell you what, if the Packers should sniff around, and if Myles Garrett is available, I think that's – so at this point, you have a lot of young talent, but if there is someone, a Max Crosby, and I know, you know, part of that is you look at Detroit, they lose Hutchinson, and everybody is looking, how are they going to replace him? Well, you're probably not going to be able to unless you can pry a guy like Crosby or Myles Garrett. The tricky part of that is, then what are you doing if you're Cleveland? And what are you doing if you're the Las Vegas Raiders? You have your best players. What are you telling your fan base? We're going to trade our best guys right now. That's the balancing act you have. So to answer your question, Eric, would it be great to have Myles Garrett in Green Bay? Yeah. Would it be great to give up probably 2 first-round picks and something else to get him? I just don't think we're at that point, even though I know Myles Garrett is a stud. He is a nightmare to block. Same thing with Max Crosby. And up until the last 2 weeks, that has been a question mark for this team is can we generate a pass rush with four? I think Rashawn Gary's come on a little bit, but I think Goody has always been in these conversations. I would be shocked if he pulls the trigger on doing anything. I think he likes his roster the way it is.
I think what's interesting, Tosh, is like the fact that there's an NFL trade deadline is kind of something that's always flown on the radar for me, maybe because so many years of Ted Thompson of like, we won't trade anybody. We don't make any offseason. Yeah. Like we are inactive in any of these conversations.
It was one of my favorite Mike McCarthy press conference quotes. And this wasn't even to do with the trade deadline. It was free agency. And the reporters asked Mike in March about free agents and anything. And he basically was like, when does that start? That's what it's like. In essence, Stan, we don't know because we never even entertained bringing free agents on. And I think the thing with Goody, some of his best moves have been the moves he hasn't made. Take, for instance, the wide receiver the Bears ended up getting, and the name slips my mind right now, but the Packers were in that conversation from – he was a Pittsburgh Steeler.
Chase Claypool.
And thankfully, the Steelers took the Bears offer, and Green Bay didn't because – giving up a second-round pick for a guy that is no longer in the league, a lot of times, as the old great businessman would say, the best deals you make are the ones you don't.
Oh, that might have just made the open. Well done, Tausch. 7:58 on Wisconsin's Morning News.